Well, I'm excited about this message series we've been in. We started last week. It's called Tested, Tempted, and Turned Around. Last week's message is about how we are tested and how we can pass those tests. And today, surprise, surprise, can you guess what I'm talking on next? Talking about tempted, right? And so I'm excited about today's message because all of us face temptation. All of us. There's no exceptions to this rule. We all deal with it. In fact, I was working on my message. I was going over it this morning before I preached the first service, and I walk out of my office and I'm in my conference room. This is what I saw. I just want to show you that I deal with temptation every day too, right in front of me. So anyway, so don't put donuts in front of me. That's a bad idea. I'm just telling you right now. So Oscar Wilde said this. He said, "I can resist anything except temptation." Isn't that great? I think we all agree with that, right? So we all face this and it can be such a struggle. There's this great scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 that basically gives us, it's only just a few sentences, but it's so powerful. It gives you the key ingredients to how to overcome whatever temptation you are facing. So I'm excited to share this with you today. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to go right into it. You guys ready to go? Let's roll. Let's do this. Let's just dive right in. Again, I want to say hello. Thanks for all of our campuses who are tuned in and those watching online. Thank you for joining us today. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this in verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So it's just easy to think, oh, I'm fine. You know, maybe you see someone else falling into something and, you know, struggling with some kind of, you know, addiction or some deal, and you're going, I don't know what their problem is. I mean, I don't know, you know, why are they so weak? But maybe that's not your weakness, but it doesn't mean you don't have a weakness, right? And so it's easy to look at what someone else struggles with and think, well, that's not me. I would never fall into that. But first of all, be careful because you could fall into it too. But also, there's an area that you're probably weak that they're not. And so all of us have different weaknesses. Proverbs 16:18 says this, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. And so the first thing we need to do if we're going to overcome temptation is admit that we are susceptible to all temptation and sin. We just have to admit that, it could be us too, right? I think the phrase is there, but by the grace of God go I, right? Like we could easily fall into the same temptation. And so we have to be careful rather than judging someone else. We have to think, man, that could be me. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to go through what they're going through. So I want to guard myself from that particular temptation. So you want to avoid those kinds of things. And then it says this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It goes on to say this, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Now, this verse really helped me because I think we tend to believe that what I'm dealing with, no one else deals with, right? We have that viewpoint like, oh, I'm the only one who struggles with this. So I want to let you know something. You do not have terminal uniqueness, I promise you. Other people struggle with this. If you Google whatever your struggle is, there are books on it. There are seminars on it. There are websites dedicated to it, which means it's common. Which means other people deal with the same thing you're dealing with. And so the fact that you have a temptation that is really a big deal for you that you can fall into easily is not a sign you're weak. It's a sign you're human. And so everyone has a struggle or two. There's no exceptions to this rule. One day when my son Cole was little, he was in elementary school, we got a call from his teacher. That's never good, right? You're like, oh no, here we go, right? The teacher calls and says, hey, just wanted to let you know what Cole did today. And I was like, oh, here we go. You know, she says, well, you know, we were doing some arts and crafts. He was sitting at his little desk behind the sweet little girl in front of him with the ponytail. And he had his scissors in his hands. And he just couldn't resist. So he cut her ponytail off. Now, I just want you to imagine the conversation we had to have with the mom of this little girl who lost all of her hair in one fell swoop from Cole. I said, Cole, what were you thinking? He goes, Dad, I just had scissors in my hand. I just couldn't resist it. So I just want to warn you, if you ever see scissors in my son's hands and you have a ponytail, you may want to get out of there. I'm just telling you right now because he cannot resist that. If you have scissors, ponytail, it's just a bad combination for him. So yeah, so it can happen. So years later, I saw the mom and daughter in Walmart. I was there at Walmart hanging out and shopping, and she says, you remember me? And I didn't. And she goes, I'm the one who, this is my daughter. She's the one that her ponytail was cut off. And I was like, I found myself apologizing again. I'm so sorry that happened. And she said, no, we laugh about it all the time now. I was like, okay, thank God. I'm glad you laugh about it now. I was not laughing at the time. So I'm not sure what your temptation is, But it's common. If it's a ponytail, that's common, right? I mean, whatever it is, all of us have temptations. But I want to show you the verse here. This really helped me too. John 8:44 says this, "The devil has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, this is really important to remember this. Whatever your sin of choice is, whatever your temptation is, one of the things that keeps that temptation alive, that keeps you going back to the same dumb thing again and again, is there's a lie behind it. If you can help uncover the lie, it can help you break the power of that struggle. Let me give you a couple common lies. I just wrote some of these down just off the top of my head. How about this one? If I just had more money, then I'd be happy. Well, that's a lie. I know you think you would, but all the stats tell us now once you hit a certain point, now there's certainly a struggle level, no question about it, but there's a certain level where, did you know, money kind of flattens out? You're no longer happy with more money, period. So you're like, how much is that? What's the number, right? It's $10 more than you make now. I'm just telling you right now, right? That's what we always think, isn't it? We always think, if I just made a little more, then I'd be happy. How about this one? If I stay mad at them, it'll hurt them. Well, that's a lie. If you stay mad at them, it only hurts you, right? But we think somehow, if I'm still angry with someone for what they did, it's punishing them. But it's actually not. It's just punishing you. I just want to encourage you, hurting, you know, like being angry at your ex only hurts your current relationship. And so just, it doesn't hurt the previous one at all. So it's just a lie. Here's another lie. This is a huge one. If only I lived there, then I'd be happy. Like somehow a zip code makes you happy. If I just lived in that town, oh, I'd be so happy. As if no one's depressed in that town. As if no one's struggling in that town. I mean, do you hear the absurdity of that? So it's funny how we think that way, though, don't we? When we let the devil play on our minds, and then we compare ourselves with Instagram and, you know, Facebook and all these, and we're like, oh, they look so happy, and oh, if my life was just like theirs. And, you know, well, first of all, their life is not as great as you think, and your life is not as bad as you think. So it's both, right? These are lies. We're falling for lies. Here's a popular lie. I've mentioned this one before, but I'll mention this again. If you watch any TV show, I mean almost any sitcom now, you will pick up on this lie very quickly that they show all these scenes. Either they show the scene or they don't show the scene, but you assume it, right? That they're sleeping together. And it's always the people who are having the best time in bed are always single people. And the married people are boring. When all the stats, the actual statistics, when people are studied, prove the exact opposite. The people who are sexually satisfied are people who are married and monogamous. Oh, what a shocker, just like God's word says. And so again, but we're falling for the lie. Actually, if you step outside of your marriage and do that kind of stuff, it'll destroy your life. And so I just want to encourage you, it is a clear lie that we're being told over and over again by television. So I just want to challenge you, look for the lie in whatever it is you're struggling with. I just want to tell you, in fact, someone told me this one time, it really helped me. They said, you cannot get enough. You may want to write this down. You cannot get enough of what won't satisfy. Did you catch that? You can't get enough of it. Why do I eat all the chips in the bag? Because did you know that the food industry builds certain products into junk food to make you always want more? Did you know that? Literally, they do that. They design it to where you're not satisfied. So I just want to encourage you that you know, there's a reason why you can scroll forever and it never stops, because that's what keeps you scrolling. And so you ever notice you can never get to the bottom of the webpage? That's by design. And so it's designed to keep you looking. So I just want to challenge you, what lie are you falling for? If you can expose the lie, it'll really help. So Jesus said this when he was tempted. In fact, he said this three different times in the same chapter, in Matthew chapter 4. When the devil tempted him, he said, the first phrase he said is, "It is written." He said, "It is written." First the devil tempted him and said, "Hey, why, you know, you haven't eaten for 40 days, you've been on this fast, so hey, why don't you take these stones, turn them into bread," right? And he says, "It is written, man will not, you know, live on bread alone, but by God's word." So and then he quotes different scripture. And so this is such a critical thing, is that we need to learn a Bible verse that directly relates to our temptation. In fact, right now, do me a favor, at all of our campuses, those online, right now, pull out your phone. Would you do that? Pull out your phone, because you have a camera on your phone. And I want you to take a picture of this. What I did to try to help you out is that we've listed very common struggles, very common temptations, with a verse that coincides with that temptation. Would you just take a picture of that? Hopefully this can help you. Maybe you struggle with anger or lust or greed or pride or envy or laziness, dishonesty, worry, gluttony. Maybe you struggle with just wanting to eat everything in sight, gossip, maybe selfishness, maybe you struggle just wanting to be judgmental towards other people, you're impatient, idolatry. We don't think we struggle with idolatry, but idolatry means like you're making someone or something an idol in your life, or drunkenness, despair, revenge, doubt, complaining all the time, or unforgiveness. So just take a picture of that. And I want to encourage you, whatever verse is beside your struggle, and if you're like me, I got a couple of them, right? There's not just one for me, right? I got a handful. Memorize the scripture on that. In fact, honestly, scripture memory has been something that has almost gone away completely. And it's really sad because it's really powerful. In fact, most of us, if we have a scripture memorized, most of us that have scripture memorized grew up in church. And when we were little, we were required to memorize scripture as children in Sunday school or children's church. And because of that, you know those verses. And we do that in our children's church too. This is one of the greatest reasons why, parents, you should be actually coming to the physical location of your campus so your kids actually go in the children's church and memorize the scriptures. Can we just give it up for our Kids Unlimited right now? They're putting the word of God in your children. It's a beautiful thing. And so when you are tempted, if you have that scripture memorized, you can just immediately say, it is written, boom, and say the verse. It really will help you overcome temptation because it breaks the lie. Because you're like, what you're doing is you're countering the lie with truth from God's word. So I highly recommend that you do that. Jesus actually said, lead us not into temptation. He basically says, just avoid it. Just stay away from it. The best way to overcome temptation is don't go anywhere near it, you know? It's really simple. Just stay clear of it. If you do that, you will not get beat by it. And so I just want to encourage you to just get away, right? I will not be beat by Conor McGregor because I will never get in the ring with him. That's why. And so in other words, like if you found yourself getting beat up by something, just stay away from it. Just don't go anywhere near it. Rita Mae Brown one time said, lead me not into temptation. I can find the way myself. You ever found that be true? I'm pretty good at finding temptation. Do you guys remember the show Hee Haw? Remember the show Hee Haw when you're little? Okay, so this is great. This is from the doc, the fake doctor, the comedy doctor on there. A guy comes to see the doctor and he says, what's wrong? Where is it hurt? And he says, well, I broke my arm in two places. And he said, well, stay away from them places. That's what I encourage you to do. Stay away from them places, right? Wherever it is that you struggle, stay away from those places. I highly recommend that you do that. So you just tell me the area you struggle in, find a verse about that, then also stay away from those environments. Stay away from the areas or the places where the temptation comes in for you. And it's again, temptation is different for everyone. And so, but I bet you are tempted. You know, one of the areas that we're tempted sometimes, I want to set this up. We're about to go into our annual offering. And I wonder how many of us in a large church like this think, oh, that's for someone else. We're tempted to not take part, to say, oh, that's someone else's responsibility to fund all the work of God that my church does. It's not, that's for rich people. The rich people can do that. Isn't that funny how we do that? We kind of push it off when actually God's changed all of our lives at this church, right? God's impacted all of our lives and is impacting our lives and our children's lives. Please check out this video that speaks to the reason why behind our annual offering coming up called Heart for the House. Check out this video.
I found community in this house. I found my purpose in this house.
Jesus in this house.
My children found Jesus in this house. This house helped me overcome depression.
I found my spouse in this house.
My marriage was restored in this house.
I overcame addiction in this house.
I am no longer bound by suicidal thoughts.
This house taught me what it means to be a man.
I overcame anxiety.
I finally found joy from myself.
I grew up in this house.
This house has broken my family's
generational curse.
I've been loved by this house.
You know, for 27 years, this house has been faithful to God to make a difference, make an impact, to change lives. And I just want to encourage you, if your life has been impacted here, that maybe instead of falling for the temptation that, oh, this is for someone else, maybe someone say, God, I've been changed here. I want to give to the place that's changed my life. Someone gave for me to be able to sit in this seat that I didn't pay for, to send my children to a youth ministry that I didn't pay for, to have my kids be impacted by a children's ministry I didn't pay for, the nursery. And I just want to encourage you to say, God, you've changed my life at this place, my family, so now I want to give it forward so we can change more lives. I just want to challenge you. We're about a month out. Just to prayerfully consider what God would have you do above and beyond your tithe. And you may say, well, my kids are little. They're not going to remember any of this. Actually, this is the perfect time. When my kids were little, we would say, hey, let's all gather around the table. We'd normally, like at dinner, we'd say, hey, we're about to have our offering, our annual offering. They say, what's an annual offering? What does that mean? Annual just means yearly. Well, what is an offering? Well, it's when we give above and beyond. We offer something above our tithe, you know, above our 10% we give to God, just to just say, God, we just are thankful for you. Thankful for what you've done. And so we would go around the table and say, what do you each want to give towards that? And it's really fun to see your kids grow up like that, because now, some of you right now are thinking, this is crazy. There's just no way. That probably means you grew up in a home that didn't do this, so it freaks you out. It's really hard. But giving has never been a struggle for me, because I always saw my parents do it. So I was taught to do it. So you really can be raised in it. Wouldn't it be great for your kids to never struggle with giving, because they just see you do it, and it becomes their normal? Wouldn't that be amazing if your normal for your kids was just to be a giver, just to be generous with their time, with their money, with their encouragement, right? Wouldn't that be great? So I just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider what God would have you do as a family. And so it's funny, when my kids got older, when Mason and Cole were like in high school, this happened multiple times without them even knowing that they had said this to me. In fact, one time I remember Mason said this, he was just like, well, Dad, I just gave all my money to God. And sounds like a teenager, right? And I was like, oh. And I was like, why'd you think? He goes, well, you're talking about giving, and I just, I figured this is all I got. I'll just give it to God. And I loved it, because he was saying that God was convicting him to do his part. So I just want to encourage you today. Now they're grown adults, and Mason has his own child now. It's just really fun to watch. But I just want to encourage you, you can make an impact, number one, in people's lives. Number two, the Bible talks about this over and over again. They would do annual offerings. They did semi-annual. In fact, if you study the Old Testament, they did 4 or 5 special offerings a year. We do one. And so it's a way that we can focus on special projects, get certain things done, the first one they did it for in the Old Testament was to redo or to build the temple. And so for us, we are going to upgrade a lot of things technology-wise so we can continue to take the gospel further. And so just thank you for giving. Prayerfully consider what God would have you do in 30 days. It's December 8th is our annual offering. And so just thank you for that. I just wanted to stop a moment just to ask you. And again, what's the temptation? Well, that's for someone else. It's one of the challenges. You say, God, no, what do you want me to do? What's my part? I believe God will lead you. And I want to also say this before we even have that again, it's a month out. Thank you. Thank you for being the kind of church that's so incredibly generous. This is one of the most generous houses I've ever seen to making a difference in people's lives. Isn't it great to be part of a church that's alive and thriving and changing lives, not only here, but around the world? Can we just give it up for God for what he's doing in this house? Praise God. As we continue talking about temptation, we're all tempted by different things. Maybe for you, you find yourself white-knuckling it. You're like, oh, I don't want to fall in this again. I keep struggling with the same issue, right? And so one of the keys to temptation may surprise you, but it's that if you focus on it, you tend to fall into it more. Did you know that? And so, like right now, I want to just challenge you. Whatever you do, don't think about snakes. Do not think about snakes right now. Whatever you do, don't think about them slithering by you. Don't think about them on the ground. Don't think of them sliding. Just don't think about snakes. What are you thinking about the whole time? So what happens if you're so focused on, I will not do this, I will not do this, it makes you actually hyper-focus on it. This is why the Bible says to set your mind on things above. Because if you set your mind on things above, your mind's on the things below. So the answer to overcoming your temptation is to get busy doing your purpose. Get busy going after your goals about what God's put on your heart to do. Because listen, you're either going to give in to your higher desires or your lower desires. So I just want to challenge you to keep your mind thinking about God. And so it says here, no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. We have common issues, common temptations. But then look at this. It says this, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I've got great news for you. God will never put more weight on the bench press than you can lift. Isn't it good to know that? Now, you may not think you can lift it, but you actually can. So God will never put more weight, more stress, more temptation on you than you can actually handle. And so that's, I don't know about you, that's good news to me that God set this up for me to win. He's like, you got this. You can handle it. You can overcome this. And so as it says in Philippians 4:13, I always hesitate on this verse before I read it to say, please do not blow this off because it's common. We tend to not see the power in a verse if we're used to it. But I want you to hear this with fresh ears for a moment. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So you can overcome that temptation. You don't have to give into it. Isn't that good news to know? God says, I will not give you more than you can handle. It's good. Now, God does not bring temptation to life, but he throttles it back. If it's too much, he will do that. And so praise God that he does that for all of us. And so there's an old Indian story of a Cherokee chief talking to his grandson. And he says to his grandson, inside of all of us is good and evil. It's like two wolves, and they're always fighting each other. And the grandson says to his grandfather, he says, grandfather, which wolf wins? And he says, whichever wolf you feed the most. Isn't that good? So if your temptation seems huge and in your face, it's because you're feeding it. But even a wolf, you know, that's coming after you, if it's starving, doesn't have the strength. So the key to overcoming your temptation and making it to where it's not a big deal to you anymore, just never feed it. I've had people tell me the things that they used to struggle with. They say, you know, pastor, sometimes I go 2-3 days, even 2-3 weeks, I'm not even thinking about it anymore. I haven't fed it, so I just don't think about it. Wouldn't that be nice? How many guys are like, I want that, pastor? That sounds amazing. You just quit feeding it. If you quit feeding it, it goes away. So I just want to challenge you to consider that. So believe that you can overcome it because you can. Just feed the right things in your life. The fact that you're in church right now, the fact that you're watching online right now, you're feeding your spirit. You're feeding your spiritual man. You're feeding the right side of you, and that will overcome the weaknesses that we all have. And then this next scripture really helped me. In fact, I actually have a little thing I do when I'm tempted by something I say to myself under my breath all the time. If no one's around, I say it loud. If someone's around, I'll just kind of say it or think it, you know, but it's really powerful. Look at this scripture. This is where the power comes in. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God says, hey, remember like what you're dealing with, everyone deals with. Number one, you're just human. And then what else? Well, it says what? The next thing is that, sorry, I just went blank. It says that it's common, but then also you just got to believe you can overcome it because you can. And then this is the key for me. But when you're tempted, so in other words, Jesus said what? Lead us not into temptation, stay away from it. But sometimes you just can't avoid it. Sometimes it's just there. Sometimes you just walk out of your office and someone put donuts in front of you, right? I mean, it just happens, right? You're like, there it is, right in front of me, right? You don't have to be in the wrong place. Some of you are like, I'm not going to go to the club anymore. The singles in the house, you know, some guys are like, I'm just not going to go to the places where girls dress like that. And then you just go to the mall and some girl looks like she's going clubbing and she's at Walmart. What in the world's going on here, right? And so sometimes you just can't avoid it, right? So sometimes it's temptation, or maybe the guy, you know, just, you know, he's all ripped up and he looks great. And for, you know, for some women, that's a big thing. Whatever your temptation is, my point is this, is that sometimes can't get away from it. Can I tell you, by the way, that if you can't get away from temptation, if it's everywhere, then that means God says the answer is not for me to eliminate your temptation from the earth. It's actually for you just to overcome it. You know, have you ever tried to pray away? Or I just pray to you just remove every person that's attractive from my eyes forever. You know, like, it's not going to happen. I'm just telling you, it's just not, that's not going to happen. Or how about this one? Oh, Lord, if there's just no more shopping malls, if there's just no more shopping on, then I won't be tempted. Like, that's not coming. That's just, I'm just telling you, there's always going to be ads, there's always going to be clickbait to get you to click on it to buy something. So if you're waiting for that day, it's not coming. So you just have to learn to overcome it. You're waiting for the day that you're just not going to be still upset that someone hurt you from years ago. That day's not coming. You'll always have the memory, but you can endure it. You can overcome it. Does that make sense? Like, it's just not going away. You went through a divorce, or you were betrayed, or someone really hurt you. That's part of your history, but it doesn't mean it has to be something that's crippling you. You can endure it. You can overcome it. It's how you handle it. And so look at this. But when you're tempted, he, God, will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Now, this is really important. I want to point out a couple things here. In the original Greek language, the word way out is actually way through, which means that God must want us to endure it. Like, he's like, I'm not going to remove it, but you can go through it. You don't have to give into this. But there's another part of this. The original Greek language, there's a word here. The word is ekbasin. Can you say that? Say ekbasin. Ekbasin doesn't mean a, it means the. So actually, the proper translation today would be God provides the way out. Now, this is important. So all of our temptations are common. Everyone's dealing with the same stuff. But your exit plan is personalized for you. Isn't that cool? God is such a personal God that when you're dealing with something that's common, he says, no, but I have a plan just for you. Isn't that good to know that? So here is what I say to myself whenever I'm facing a temptation. I just say, where's the way out? I just say that a lot. God, where's the way out? Because I know you're going to provide it, and God will provide the way out. I was sitting in my chair the other day late at night watching TV, and I don't know, it was some commercial or something, but something triggered me, and I was like, okay, don't look at that. I don't have like a bunch of movie channels and stuff. I have all that blocked. I don't have any of that. But still, just sometimes on regular TV, there'll be stuff where you're like, whoa, probably shouldn't be looking at that. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, just network television, ABC, NBC, CBS, whatever. And I was like, oh, whoa. And I remember sitting in my chair, and I had, you know, the typical thoughts that people have, and I was like, oh, man, what's my way out? And I just felt the Lord tell me, the bedroom, go to bed. There's your way out. You don't stay up late watching TV. And I was like, that's simple, isn't it? I got up, and I went to bed. Problem solved. And so I just want to challenge you. God will always provide a way out, the way out. It's specific just for you. So number four, look for the escape. God will give you the escape. I like to watch UFC fighting, and I know it's super violent. Sorry, I just like violence. But anyways, but I used to be really into like boxing, and now I kind of moved over to UFC. But I was watching these fights, and I noticed something, that the commentators are brilliant. You know, guys like Joe Rogan, that's how he kind of got his start, was doing commentating on that, really knows his stuff. And so when they start grappling, that means they're on the ground. And when there's a guy underneath, like there's a guy on top of him, then Rogan will be like, oh, he's doing an armbar right now. Like he immediately says, this is what you got to do. And so, and sometimes if the camera's wide enough, you'll even see the coach standing on the edge going, oh, and they're screaming at him. What they're saying is, this is what you got to do. Do this, do this. They're telling them the way out. And so, because when you're on the ground, you only have a second to think. In fact, you really have no time to think. It needs to be your number one reaction. Where's my way out? To where it just becomes a normal thing that you know to do. And so I want to tell you, God is your coach. And when the temptation's on top of you, he immediately says, this is the way out. Don't think, just do it. Get out of there. Immediately. Does that help someone today? I just want to challenge you, look for the way out. In fact, with sexual temptation, he says, flee, run, get out of there. Basically, he's saying, you're not strong enough, get out. Don't put yourself in the situation. So whatever the temptation is, I really believe this. When the enemy is on you, always listen for God to tell you, this is your escape, this is the move, make the move, get out of there as fast as you can. And watch that God always provides a way out. In fact, can I just tell you this? You may want to write this down. Please write this down. In fact, your temptation is an invitation to trust God more. Isn't that good? Your temptation is an invitation to trust God more. Let me tell you one last thing that I've learned over the years. And I've been to counseling, and I've read a lot of books on this kind of stuff. I minored in psychology, which means I'm just dangerous enough, you know, to talk about it, but I doesn't even really know that much. But I've read a lot about temptation. I've studied this with my Bible open, and I didn't study it because I wanted to teach you. When I was younger, I studied it because I needed it, right? Let's just be honest in the house of God today. Can we do that? Like, it wasn't, oh, I need to teach you guys how to overcome temptation. You know, I don't need it. But, oh, no. I was like, God, I need you to help me, Lord. I don't know what to do. I can't stop this. Try to learn a few things. And I can tell you one thing that I learned is this. All of us, almost no exceptions to this rule, something when you were younger. Psychologists oftentimes call this the original wound. But that sounds fancy and big, and it may not be big, but it's big enough to hurt you. So maybe it wasn't abuse. Maybe you weren't raped or traumatized or something. Or maybe you were. And there's a lot of people that were. It's called the original wound. Maybe for you, the original wound was just a rejection. Maybe it was that you didn't think you were attractive at a young age. You go through the awkward junior high years. Maybe you were picked on. Maybe you felt lonely. You felt like no one was there or understood you. I don't know what your original wound is, but we all have something. And what we tend to do is from that young age, we didn't know better, so we just found something to soothe us. Maybe for you, it was a click, a hit. Maybe it was something you ingested, something you took. Maybe it was a behavior you found yourself running to. But what we're doing is we're soothing ourselves from pain, from struggle, from difficulty. In fact, we even joke about this. It's common language in our society today to say things like, oh man, I've had a bad day. I just need to go out to eat. I just need to eat some food therapy. Right? We even say it, don't we? We're soothing ourselves. So I'm not sure what your sin of choice is, but whatever it is, it's probably something that soothes you from pain that you learned when you were a lot younger. But now the soothing activity is creating the pain. So what keeps us going back to it is shame. I'm so ashamed of what I've done. If people only knew. So guess what we do? The shame makes us go, oh, I feel so terrible about myself. So what do? You go back to what soothes you. See, do you see the cycle here? You find yourself in this cycle? I want to encourage you today, uncover the lie and realize that maybe there was a time when you thought that was helping you. And that's a lie that we believe. We believe this will help me, but it doesn't. It actually creates the cycle of pain, the cycle of shame. But instead say, God, I want to break the cycle. I need your truth to do that. Truth sets you free, the Bible says. So God, what's your truth? So for example, maybe for you, you really have the temptation to go off on people online and to be angry, to be mad. And it used to be that you believed in your cause. Now it's beyond believing your cause. Now you don't believe in anyone who doesn't believe in your cause. We've seen a lot of this last week, have we not? And so we think like, for me to feel better about myself, I got to make sure you know you're a bad person. You're less than. And so maybe for you, your sin of choice is that you don't feel good about yourself, so you have to make sure other people seem less than you. Maybe that's your temptation. Maybe it has nothing to do with it. Maybe it's sexual in nature. Like if I could just be satisfied. But I want to tell you right now, you can't get enough of what won't satisfy. So here's what I've learned to do. On my phone, I have a short list. I'm getting real honest here, and this is humbling for me to admit this stuff, okay? But I'm trying to help. Is this helping someone today? Okay. Here's what I do. On my phone, they have a short list. The short list says this at the top. It says, what else can you do? And I just, whenever I have these struggles, whatever it is, maybe it's anger or lust or greed or selfishness, you just have to buy. You think, if I just buy more stuff, then I'll be happy. Whatever the temptation, everyone has a different one. I want to challenge you to stop yourself and say, what else can I do? What can I do that's healthy? So for me, on my list, it says, like, go for a walk, pray, open the Word of God, watch something healthy, right? Go spend time with my wife, go call a friend, text a friend. And so I just have a list of things that are what I would call replacements that also soothe me in healthy ways. Does that help someone today? And just run to those things instead. But the ultimate soothing is saying, God, I want to worship you because you satisfy me. All longings are spiritual longings in the end, all of them. The longing for intimacy is to know the Lord, is to walk with God. Did you know that? Some of you are like, I just always want to have more stuff, the bigger house. You ever had that insatiable desire? I need to build a home or have something bigger all the time. We always want that. Nothing wrong with a nice new home, but could it be that you actually have a desire for a heavenly home? And you realize there's just nothing you can build that's going to really satisfy your soul. Every desire we have is actually, deep down below it, a healthy spiritual desire. Find that. Run to that. let your spirit be soothed by the things of God, and they will satisfy. They don't lead to shame. They lead to satisfaction. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? I pray this message is setting someone free today. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. I believe there's great power in the scripture. What you're dealing with is common, but the exit's personal. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe prayer today is to say, God, thank you, Lord, that I now can see a way out. Maybe your prayer today is, God, I declare war on this. I'm tired of falling for the same stupidity. I'm tired of feeling bad about myself. Can I challenge you to not use the last time you messed up as ammunition, but rather information? Learn from it so you don't repeat it, but don't beat yourself up. This is why God sent his son. Jesus died for your sins. He forgives you fully. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today is to say, God, I receive your forgiveness, and today's a fresh start. If that's you, just lift your hand. You say, God, today's a fresh start. I'm going to start fresh today. I see it differently now. You always provide a way of escape. I don't have to fall for this any longer. I can find healthy ways to soothe myself. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you given your life to Christ? Jesus died for our sins, the things that so easily entangle us, that so easily trip us up. He died for all that, and he rose again, proving that he's God. You can receive Christ in your life. This is how you become a Christian, is you just ask Jesus to come in your life. You can pray this prayer with me right now. We're going to pray it across all of our campuses, those watching online. Just say this with me. You can say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you hold your hand high? If you just gave your life to Christ, hold your hand high. Praise God. There's hands going up all across our campuses. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Right here at broadcast, all the way in the back, we see your hands. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. We see your hands. Thank you. Thank you, Portland. Hold those hands high. Praise God. God's moving right now at Roger Island. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high. Praise God, Stone Oak, Rodfield, God's moving. I love it. Praise God. Those of you in our prison ministry, hold those hands high. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for those watching online as well. God, I pray that you would just speak to us, lead us, and thank you, God, that you teach us a way out. We are not stuck in the mire of our sin. We are forgiven and made new. God, help us now to apply your truth. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lead us not into temptation. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Pastor?
Thank you so much, bro.